Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on in the sky above us on this, what is a beautiful day in the Pacific Northwest. Finally, we have sunshine right from the start, and we are headed for like 66 degrees. Woohoo! Gotta love that. I hope all of you are looking forward to a beautiful day, a wonderful day with lots of opportunity and possibilities. So what is going on in our stars above today? Because literally it does feel like this week is a much calmer week, a much quieter week, a week for us to, you know, really maybe kick back and have some fun. Today, the moon has moved into the sign of Leo. So of course we're primed for fun. That's what Leo is all about, right? So today we're going to take a look at what the moon does in Leo and what part of our lives it affects. We are also going to take a look at the beginning of the new Pleiadian energy week as we are now standing at the one healing day, which is also the new beginning of the spiral of consciousness that we consider the Pleiadian calendar to bring us to. And what does that mean for us? Because this is the dawning of a new 13-day week. And this is very interesting energy, I think, especially with what's been happening in the world. And then there are just a couple of minor little transits today that might, you know, act like little burrs under your saddle, little splinters in your toes. So we'll want to know about what to do with that. So Hey, let's begin today. We're going to begin backwards. We're going to begin with the Pleiadian Earth energy because I think it's so exciting and it is so interesting. So all of you who are fairly new to us here in the morning show, we are using this calendar called the 2020 Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar. It is written by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith. And what it is a representation of the consciousness, the spiral of consciousness and the evolution of consciousness using the calendar. So you see in the smaller print, the day of the calendar, right? The Gregorian day. And then you see the day with the earth. This is the universal energy. And this is the energy of the earth for the day. And you see it is a 13-day week. And that represents our cycle or our spiraling of our evolution of consciousness. And every time that we come to a 13, it is a day where we pause for integration. We go inward, we seek answers for what comes next. And then following that 13th day is the one day where we come to a new beginning. And that new beginning today in the Mayan calendar would be Ish, which was the representation of the shaman or the priest or jaguar energy. It was very magical energy and it held the space of great respect and great potential for healing. Thus the name One Healing. So when we're dealing with one, we're dealing with initiation energy. This is like the new moon energy. It represents a new beginning. And every 13 days in this calendar, we have a new beginning as we enter into a new energy that serves as the umbrella for the 13 days. So the day that's number one, today, One Healing, will serve as the umbrella for the full 13-day week, even though we go through the other energies, right? So we'll go from, we go from One Healing to Two Seeing to Three Intuiting to Four Evolving and so on through the 13 days. But above it all is still this concept of healing that will be sort of the pervasive energy that overrides everything else. Much like when you were born, and I was thinking about this morning, I wonder how many of you are new enough that there was one point maybe a year ago that I went through and I gave all the listeners that were there that day their Mayan calendar astrology. And it's because it's easiest for me to do that, to look at that and to then translate that to your Pleiadian birthday. So if maybe one day we'll do that, if I have a day that's really light and I don't have much to talk about, so that we can find out where you are, because the day that you were born into is your Mayan or your Pleiadian star sign or earth sign. But as well, you were born into a week. So I was born on Tu Manik or Tu Remembering. And that means that I entered into the week on the second day of one Kimi, which was a very transformational energy. It deals with rebirth and death and the whole transformational thing. So even though I was born on a day of remembering, my remembering is tied to transformation. So whatever day that you were born into is also tied into what the umbrella energy was of that week. So it's a really interesting way to look at yourself through that spiral of consciousness lens, rather than the Gregorian, I was born on June 19th and 1961, and these were the things that were happening up in the stars kind of thing. It gives us a little bit different view, much like human design gives us your energetic view. The astrology gives us the more mechanical view, and the Pleiadian earth energy gives us more of your maybe spiritual view, your pulse of involution and evolution that you're here to work with. So I always find those kinds of systems very appealing because they take us to the spiritual side of things and not just the logical, sequential sort of energies, which are important, don't get me wrong, but not as fulfilling perhaps as if we look at ourselves holistically. You're a holistic being, so we should look at your astrology in a holistic way as well. And I'm sure there are many astrologers out there that would say, oh, well, astrology is holistic as well. It can be, it depends on, you know, who you're working with and how they're looking at the chart and how they draw their conclusions about what it is that you're here to do. Sometimes human design gets to be very logical, sequential as well, which is why I sometimes shy away from its system as it's taught via some of the more, like the bigger schools out there, Jovian, for example, it's very logical, it's very sequential. And I think that misses the meaning of the system. So I love Karen Curry Parker, the way she teaches it, because it takes that as well as the spiritual. And so it's all in what, you know, resonates to you. But sometimes I just like to bring these other facets in just to get a different glimpse beyond what I think I am or who I think I am. So let's talk more then about one healing energy. So we have the initiation, the new beginning, emerging from source. Here's where we get different from just the usual thought of a new beginning or setting intentions, is that we are filled with possibilities when we're tapped in from the level of super consciousness or God or source or goddess, whatever you want to call that. And from there, that possibility is filled with expansive energy, right? And it's expansive energy that is more complete, because it's not just my mind deciding to wander off in this direction. It's come from a bigger place. It's come from a more holistic place, or a place with an evolutionary intent that I can use to propel myself along my own life path, but also to be in alignment with that which is happening from the spiral of consciousness, which is what this is all about, being in alignment, going with the flow, not against it. And so here today, we have an opportunity to set intentions from a present moment mindset, not from what do I want down the future? What do I want that I didn't get from the past? But in this moment, how can I best serve using my gifts and my talents? So when we're in the moment, when we're in the present moment, in the present, in the now, we can connect with spirit, God, source, and bring that correct evolutionary impulse in that's meant for us personally, us as individuals. Now, the healing energy I find really fascinating as well. Healing energy is about bringing spirit into matter. So sort of the joining together of spirit, the ether and the physical, or the practical down to earth, boots on the ground you, right? So we're taking the spiritual part of ourselves, the part that we can't see, but we know is there, the part that animates us, and blending that in with our very physical body and bringing it into existence here. And as such, then we are moving between the more mystical, magical, and the more physical and concrete. And that we might find ourselves moving fluidly between those two realms. And so, of course, then we have to work to balance both while we're living in both realms, right? We are constantly living in both realms. I think that's part of what we don't recognize, is that we are walking, talking, spiritual human beings, right? We're walking, talking spirits. We're divine beings in physical body, and that we are moving through this life with both of those realms within us. And we need to be balanced in both of those realms, both the spiritual and the physical. And any imbalance in that could create a problem, a challenge in our lives. And those challenges that we come up against, those non-joyful moments, let's call them, or those moments of anxiety or fear, are calls from our spirit that we are out of alignment and that it's time to align ourselves. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, healing energy is about that alignment. It is about aligning all of those parts. So even when your body is in physical pain, it is a call that you're somewhere out of alignment. Something has gotten off track, because we're not meant to be in pain. We're not meant to have those wounds. Your soul may decide that it carries that pain or that wound as a healing process, or as a process to keep you in alignment with your soul's growth. But there's no reason why you have to continue carrying that, right? So access to healing energy, this healing, powerful energy, is determined by our own willingness to detach from our dysfunctional beliefs or our dysfunctional patterns, our dysfunctional pasts, our dysfunction of presuming what the future will bring. So we have to be willing, ready, and able to let go of everything that we believe in order to invite in healing energy. And this is a harmonizing act, if you will. It harmonizes our own imbalances before we seek to heal anybody else, right? Otherwise, you're just passing on your own imbalances, or you're reacting or acting from your own bias, perhaps, or your own issues. So you can't do that and really be an effective healer for yourself or anybody, right? So you have to first work with your own dysfunctions. And that might mean a process with, before you reach out to heal anybody. And healing could be from a conversation. It could be hands-on. It could be just, support for a human being who's in trouble. But first you have to clear yourself. Otherwise you're injecting and bringing with you all of your stuff. So clearing yourself, harmonizing your own imbalances, integrating all of your lives, your parallel lifetimes, because I doubt that it's sequential. I feel like we're sort of living all of our lives and tapping into the cross purposes of our different lifetimes all in one moment. And to heal these imbalances requires whatever you're focused in, right? You're focused in this life, right this minute. So you can only work with what you know, which is where your own dysfunctions are. You work to clear those, and then you can be the conduit of healing for other people, likely in the same things or in the same way of the issues that you've just cleared for yourself. So today is a day, and this begins a week of high healing energy for the entire planet, for humanity, for us as individuals, like from big macro down to the micro. We have a lot of healing energy available to us, but we have to do the work for ourselves, on ourselves. It doesn't mean that we don't reach out for healing from others, by the way. That's absolutely perfect, right? But you have to also be willing to do the work from the spiritual level to be able to move through that. And that might be the more uncomfortable part, right? Because someone can come along and do Reiki for you, or massage for you, or, any other kind of Christ healing, or beliefs healing, or any of that. But if you're not willing to do the work to help move that through, then it's all for naught, right? So you have to have that connection to spirit and source. And that's what we have for these next 13 days. And I feel like it's so very hopeful, especially in light of the virus that's been plaguing this planet, for the other healing things that have come up around that, whether there's a cure, whether there's a vaccine, whether there's enough, equipment for working with that. I think we've got to get to the deeper level of, why did this appear on the planet now, right? Is it some kind of unifying force? Is it, I believe, sort of, that it is the catalyst for an evolutionary leap, and that those who weren't prepared for that leap, or who were not interested in taking that leap, or who had a divine appointment elsewhere, took that opportunity to leave the planet. And those of us who end up staying here are making this evolutionary leap. And it's not a good, bad thing at all, but often viruses are the carriers for these kinds of changes within us, for healing energy on a bigger level. Much like I think I shared a few weeks back, my musings about looking at different tulips and how what the breeders of tulips do is they inject viruses into the DNA of one tulip so that it creates new color or streaking in a tulip, or that star pattern within a tulip, or different colors that don't come natively with that kind of bulb. So viruses can be the vehicles, the messengers of an evolutionary leap. So is that what coronavirus is all about? It's a possibility. Who knows where it would come from? Maybe it is from source. And maybe it's just our natural fear, our suspicion of things that come to the planet like that, our inability to be in the now and be okay with what is happening, that has created all of this fear and this reactionary energy. So that's a possibility. There's no way I can prove that's happening, but I would bet that viruses have been the carrier of other evolutionary changes here on the planet over the course of time of our history as humans on the planet. Divinely guided to bring us to a new level, right? To level us up, to bring us into a different reality, to upgrade our DNA in a way that allows the space for more light to come in, to be transduced through that DNA, to be transmitted out to the planet. So I hope that makes sense. I know I'm waxing a little metaphysical here today. Let's say good morning to everybody. Amy, good morning. Oh, thank you. These were given to me by my sister-in-law. Debbie Hedden, good morning. Elisa, good morning. J-Lo, hello to you. Natasha, blessings and wishes for a good day to all. May it be filled with love, knowing, grace, and ease. I love that. Thank you, Natasha. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. Amanda, good morning. And everybody just saying good morning. Augustina, beautiful. Camilla, great to see you. And anybody else who I'm not seeing yet, good morning to you. Please, if you have a question, feel free to type that in here. I would so appreciate if you like this video, give it a thumbs up. And if you have not yet done it, please subscribe down below the video. You'll see the subscribe. It's a red button. That helps me. And there's also a little bell that you can click on that you can get notifications when I come live or come on air live. And that is also helpful. And while I'm doing announcements, let me just say this afternoon, this evening for most of you, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. East Coast time, I will be on air with Annette McCoy on Angel Heart Radio. Today, we're going to be talking about the upcoming new or full moon lunar eclipse and the new moon solar eclipse for June. We'll probably get into a lot of different things about what's happening up, you know, in as we move into the month of June. So much that we could talk about. And that will, again, be at 5 p.m. Pacific time, which if you are in Australia or New Zealand, that area, it should be, I want to say it's either 9 or 10 a.m. your time. So morning in that part of the world, late afternoon in my part of the world, evening for those of you further east we go. And for those of you in Europe, likely that's pretty late in the evening, probably what, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. So I don't expect all of you to listen, but you can always hear the rebroadcast on the Angel Heart Radio webpage or Facebook page. She has all of the videos there. Okay, so let's see here. J-Lo, I was just telling this to my 18-year-old last night. I love when things synchronize. I do. I love that too, Jacqueline. Good morning, Patricia Woods. Great to see you out there this morning. We don't often get to see you anymore. I thought it was because I changed from Facebook to YouTube, but who knows? I know your life is busy. Okay, so let's move on over to what the moon is bringing us to today. As you know, last night we went into the void while the moon was in Cancer, and now she has made that transition into the sign of Leo. You can almost feel the change, right? From the more emotional, soft, peaceful energy to the more dramatic, more excitable energy of Leo in the moon. And so today the moon is making a few connections to other planets in opposition to Saturn in very early Aquarius, which likely has already happened as the moon moved in at just a little after midnight for those of you on the East Coast. So we're already into that. It is also in a sextile to the sun. The sun is at 6 degrees, 44 minutes of Gemini. So yeah, we're already up to the sun and that sextile. So this is where this more buoyant sort of kind of, I don't know, feels like celebratory energy is coming from that I'm feeling. And a little bit later on today, we'll also have the moon coming into a square with Uranus. So there might be some excitement, some surprises, some awakening going on. The key is to be in the moment and to be aware and to stay open, open-minded, open-hearted to whatever it is that shows up in your day, to be able to make the connection to what is, does this mean for me? What is this for me? Now, Leo, when we talk about what it rules in an astrology chart and what the moon will focus its energy on, first of all, it's heart connections. Leo literally rules the heart in the body. It rules the more etheric idea of the heart, where we get to romance, where we get to the love that we have for our children, love encounters. So love and romance, both in the realm of Leo energy, this concept of giving and receiving love, approval, acceptance from others, including what we give to ourselves in that heart connection. Leo is also a very creative sign. It rules creative expression from our passions. So this isn't Leo expression that just goes, oh yeah, I sort of want to color a page in my color book today, although that's a possibility too. It is really greeting with enthusiasm, right? The gate 16 in your human design, where the sun is now sitting, the gate of enthusiasm, and Leo and moon also about enthusiasm, creative and artistic expression. So how we give of ourselves, how we express ourselves creatively, how we actualize our passion in the world. I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday about her astrology chart, and she herself is a Leo. And in our conversation, I reminded her that Leo energy is about following that impulse from within, without the wondering if you're good enough to bring it, without the fear of I'm not confident enough to do it. It is about living full out and full out from your heart. And that's what I'm talking about when I say actualizing your passion is really bringing it to the world, bringing it out, whatever that might be. It might be astrology, it might be art, it might be cleaning houses. Who cares what it is, as long as it's important to you. And as long as you have this really heart connection to it, then that creativity is serving the world. And that is Leo energy. Giving love is also a part of the Leo journey, being generous and being a benefactor for people, beneficent giving, magnanimity, say that 10 times fast, kindness, loyalty to a cause or loyalty to a person, loyalty to oneself within reason and within limits. Celebration, also a part of the Leo experience. Now, while in some cases our celebrations are curtailed a bit, as you know, we've had two birthdays in May that we made the best out of it, right? We did parades in our cars, or we, you know, pulled up in our cars and did a roundup, a circle around someone. There are ways to have fun and play and to celebrate life and the people in your life and celebrate yourself. This is about vacation time, taking the time to relax and refresh, taking some risks for excitement. Now, that doesn't mean going and bungee jumping off a bridge if you've never done that, or skydiving. I'm not saying do those kinds of risky behaviors unless these are things that you have wanted to do, that your heart is calling you to do. And in that case, of course, you take calculated risks, right? So you make sure you have the right people teaching you what to do, or they're with you in support to do some of that more risky stuff. But what is life if we don't take some risks, if we don't put our little butts out there on the line in some way to grow, right? To be more joyful in our expression, more exuberant in our expression of life. Now, Leo, as you know, is also the sign of dignity, and pride goes along with that, and wanting recognition, receiving recognition for our work, for our contributions in the world, being in the center stage, right? Being confident enough to claim that center stage position of your own life, being powerful as an individual in your expression of what you love. And that does not take away from other people. That is just you being in your power and in your strength. Determination is also a trait that Leo brings us. It is a fixed sign in astrology. That means it stays its course. It's determined. It's resolute. It has stamina. It has strength. It follows through, and it holds focus and leadership ability. But leadership ability, as we see in human design, very, very fully is an act of being invited into leadership, voted in or invited into that position. It is not an authoritarian or dictator type energy. And those energies are falling away from the planet, even though right now it sort of looks like there's a resurgence of it. It is just the dying gasp of an old system as we more fully embrace this idea of leaders who lead by example, who are role models, who are asked to step up to the plate, and they do so, but they don't do so as a way to dictate to you. They do so as a way to be in a collaboration and a co-creation sort of way. So the new idea of Leo leadership is about that collaboration and co-creation, kind of blending some Libra sort of energies in there as well. And of course, we know that Leo on the more negative side can be the representation of arrogance and narcissism. They can be the drama kings and the drama queens. In fact, we can all turn into those when the moon especially is there, because it's our emotional life that can become inured in these dramas, these traumas that occur in our lives. It can be a very selfish sort of energy. They can be overly extravagant, boorish, even bossy. So we have some of those more negative things that can pop up that we can work with, right? We can work with it when we see it. And if we see it in someone else, then we have to ask the question, why am I seeing that out there? What part of me is in resonance with that? What part of me needs to be healed more fully in order to be really living the joyful expression of who I am? In the body, Leo represents the back or the spine, the heart, of course, we know that, the literal heart. Inflammation issues in the body are often a Leo issue, and exhaustion or overheating, that kind of thing also comes from Leo. That's not a problem in my part of the world, but some of you may be already in summer heat, and going out and doing a lot of heavy work might be the problem for these next few days, as the possibility of overheating is out there. So questions about Leo. Of course, you all may not be Leos, but you also are, you also have Leo somewhere in your chart. And the moon is moving through that part of the chart today and tomorrow. And see, tomorrow and a little bit on, no, Friday, we're already transitioning into Virgo. So Leo energy is with us for the next couple of days. Enjoy it, but also know that it is affecting a certain house in your chart, and that house would be wherever Leo shows up. In my own chart, for example, and even in the chart of the day today, Leo is crossing between the first house and the second house. And that's also often true that Leo, that any sign is crossing over two particular houses in a chart, not just one. And so it may be affecting two different houses in your chart today. So J-Lo, is universe trying to get at me? Talk about that inner voice coming stronger through voice. Indeed, indeed. Amy, wow, that is so interesting. My mom is a Leo and has major inflammation issues. Now, as soon as I hear something like that, not to blame your mom for her condition, that's not my intent ever. My intent is for us to be responsible to see why it is that we might be experiencing certain things. How is it serving her to have inflammation as an issue? How is any dis-ease or any issue in the human body serving you in your evolution of consciousness? And at this point, there may be a problem in her life of having been able to live from her heart, you know, from what she wanted to do. Maybe she always fell victim to having to do what everybody else wanted her, or falling into the expectation trap, right? Where she expected a certain thing and didn't get it, and therefore life sucked for her. And that can happen in various ways at various times. But those are the things I look at even in my own self when I start to experience a health challenge. I ask that question of myself, what is this showing me about me? How is it serving me? How is it helping me to become more aligned, to be more healed, whole, and healthy? So I don't know that your mom would be ready to look at it that way. But trust me when I say that any of these conditions that we might have serve us in some way, or they wouldn't show up in our world, right? They wouldn't show up within us. We're not meant to have health issues. That's not the, you know, we didn't come here to have those issues, but those issues can certainly help us see where it is that we need to learn something deeper, or where we need to evolve and grow. J-Lo says, I have two Leo girls here. They've been pretty lazy at times, so I can assume that's one thing being fixed. I love the story. I had a Leo young girl that lived with us for a while. She was my son's girlfriend. She was a Leo. And one day I came home and I found her laying on the floor, curled up in a ball in this patch of sunshine that was coming in the window. And of course, you know, we live in kind of a cool climate, so you can't always just like go, like today, I really want to go out in the sun, but you know, it's not really warm enough to put on a swimsuit or really get out there. So I would just find her rolled up in this ball on the floor. And it's like the big cats, right? The big cats, the lions, what do? They spend most of their day sleeping. In fact, cats themselves, I think I read somewhere, spend about 20 hours out of 24 sleeping or being lazy, where the other 4 hours are spent hunting or eating or, you know, mating or whatever else they do. This is the animal kingdom. But human Leos are sort of that way too, right? When they're on stage, they're there and they're on. But when they're not, they can be, you know, sort of lazy. Not all of them, but some of them. And of course, you know, in human design, what we see is a great model that the animal kingdom shows us about our own dysfunction when it comes to how we live our lives, right? A lot of times, if you've had a human design reading, I may have even used this example with you. Have you ever watched animals at play, especially dogs, right? They'll play. And then suddenly out of nowhere, they just stop. Both of them, like by agreement, they just stop. They might lay down. They might go off to their water bowls for some water, maybe a bite of food. Maybe they go then lay under a tree in the shade because they're in alignment with the flow of energy, the energy that moves, and then rests. Stops completely and then comes back, play, do, rest. That is the impulse that we humans miss because we are in this production oriented society and it's always, you know, 100% balls to the walls, got to keep going, got to keep making things. This is why a lot of people are having such trouble with these stay at home orders because they're so used to doing and their whole ego structure is built on what they do in the world, not who they be in the world, but what they do in the world. That when they don't have access to a job or when they don't have access to going out and doing whatever it is they want to do, they don't know what to do with themselves because they're not okay within themselves. So you can see that frustration and that anger build up as people are like, well, you know, I'm tired of being here by myself. I don't know what to do with myself anymore. We've lost that connection to these natural rhythms and cycles that take us through these periods of action and inaction, action and inaction. Instead, we're all action, come home, eat, go to sleep, get up in the morning, more action, without any thought to the rest in between and what we're doing in the middle of all that action. So hope that is helpful. Sue, 12th house, and it's transiting my Pluto, Venus, and Uranus. So a lot of powerful things surging through you today, maybe brought to you by the people in your life, maybe just issues that you're grappling with on the inner world. It probably would be a great day to do some inner work, some inner processing, maybe do some journaling. Maybe if you live in a climate that's got some beautiful sunshine or some nice breezes, get outside and sit under a tree, ground yourself and do some of that inner work. It's a great time for that for you. And also Sue says, mine is always watching out the window for animals. Cool. Leo being in the 12th house. Kamal, good morning. It's good to see you. I hope you're doing well. Marissa, good morning. Great to see you as well. All right. So now let's get to the minor little quinks, kinks, let's call them in the day. There's nothing really huge going on in terms of, you know, the upsets of the day. If anything, they're minor little nagging things, right? That little gnat that's flying all around and you can't see him, but you know he's there because you can hear him buzzing. And that is that Mars today is in a semi-square with both Jupiter and Pluto. I should say with Pluto and then Jupiter, because that's the order in which Mars will hit them. And a semi-square is a 45 degree angle. It's a half of a square. So it's not the full out obstacles and challenges that show up with a square. It's more the inner kind of obstacle that you're bumping up against, your more inner resistance to something. And that can create tension within you, but also then that tension can be, you know, between you and others. I put squabbles today. You know, there's squabbles, which are, you know, maybe covert power struggles between you and another person, maybe covert power struggles within you that you're working with. So today's a day to find creative ways to self-soothe. And that might be taking that walk, you know, going out and doing something creative, or, you know, anything that you can do to sort of relieve that tension. It's also important to note that likely a lot of that tension is coming up from the mind. It's coming up from thoughts that you're thinking about the way things are, or about what is happening, or about where things are going, or what you can or can't do, those kinds of things. So if you move your mind off those kinds of thoughts, you can move to an area that feels much better, that has much more self-orientation. And when I say that, I mean that you have the power to do whatever it is that you need to do to change that energy up, right? That's no one outside of you can do that for you. This is something coming up from the internals. Same thing, no one else outside of you can cause you to have this problem. And you could have this problem and you could look at it because somebody said something or did something that you didn't like, but your reaction or how you respond to that is solely your responsibility. And again, you have the ability to change that in a moment's notice. Now, the other thing that I find really interesting that's happening today, and this isn't so much minor as it is sort of setting the tone for what's to come next. And that is Mercury today in a very close conjunction to the North Node. Remember, the nodes have shifted. And let's see, I'm going to show you this on a chart. It's probably the best way to do it. Did I leave the chart up this morning? Yes, I did. There you are. The best way is to show the chart so that you can see visually what I'm talking about. So you all should be seeing the astrology chart of the moment, which I drew up at, well, this is Florida time. So it would have been about 7 a.m. my time this morning. And what you see right here, if you can see my pink cursor moving around, that this is Mercury and this is the North Node. The North Node and the South Node, remember last month or earlier this month, gosh, I'm already living in June, it's May still, earlier this month, May 5th, moved out of the Cancer Capricorn axis that they'd been moving through for the previous 18 months and into Gemini Sagittarius, where the North Node is moving into Gemini and the South Node exactly opposing it in the sign of Sagittarius. They always back into a sign. So they come in from the 29th degree and move to the 0 degree. And that movement here through the sign of Gemini should take about 18 months or so. During that time, these nodes drive where the eclipse patterns will be. And those eclipse patterns now change over to Gemini Sagittarius. We'll have one more Cancer Capricorn in June. And then after that, we'll see mostly Gemini, Sagittarius for the near future. Now, when Mercury met up with the Sun also earlier this month, it's almost like a new cycle begins of new information, of new pathways opening up for us. And then Mercury takes that and moves outward. We did this earlier in the month. Those first couple of weeks of May were all about Mercury taking its message from the Sun, delivered from the Sun, out to the other planets. So then it's spreading around the chart. And that theme is very much about Gemini energy. So we're talking about curiosity. We're talking about information. We're talking about social interaction and the new social reality that we find ourselves in. And now Mercury is meeting up with the North Node, who will continue to take that message for into the extended future, so that at least the next 18 months or so. And what do we want to do with that? And how do we want to live from that, right? So we have maybe new opportunities for learning, new opportunities for ourselves to teach a new message to the world, for us to speak a new message, for us to get into new conversations, right? New ideas being bandied about, and being open-minded to what comes next, and how do we solve problems from a new direction, and, you know, maybe touching on a lot of different ideas before we settle on the one, you know, the solution. So not settling for the first thing that we come about, but maybe doing a little bit of lucid dreaming about, well, what would it look like if we did this? So Mercury and the North Node meeting up here at the last degree or so of Gemini to really sort of cause us to step outside of our old South Node notions, because now Mercury is in an opposition to the South Node. If it's conjunct the North Node, it's in an opposition to the South Node. And we're looking at having to release some of those old patterns, those old beliefs, and the old way of thinking, and letting go of our self-righteous belief that we know all the answers, and that it can only work one way, and that's our way. And, you know, we could go on and on. We could take this into our philosophical and our religious beliefs, and having to let go of these old ideas of a God that's outside of us, that is causing things to happen to us if we don't worship him or her in the way that, you know, the sacred texts seem to tell you, the fear involved in all of that. We're letting that old paradigm go and opening up to a new paradigm, one that is much more magical and mystical, that in combination with the physical. So blending science, if you will, with the divine, and all of that is the potential, the possibilities as we end up moving forward here. And yeah, and then we talked yesterday about how for the foreseeable, so this is the last real big hurrah that Mercury will make in Gemini, because then he moves on into Cancer, where he will spend the time in Cancer from, what was it that I said, May 28th until August 4th. So he's going to spend an extended period of time in the sign of Cancer in your chart and change up the energy about, you know, taking a caring message now out into the world, a nurturing message out into the world. So it's really interesting to see this happening now. New ideas, new creations coming inspired by a new potential, and taking that message out to the world, teaching a new reality to the world. So I love that. I love that. All right, I'm going to stop sharing here. Go back to, I was going to say Facebook, but it's not. It's YouTube. See how everybody's doing over there. Kamal, is there something good coming for Leos? I am Leo too. Well, Kamal, I love these kinds of questions, right? Because that suggests that you think there isn't something good coming for Leos, or that something good coming for you is dependent upon the stars and the movement of the planets in particular signs. And partially that is correct, but do you not, as a divine being, also rule what happens in your own life? Right, Leo's giving us this opportunity to be heart-centered, to be creative, to be jovial, to be playful, and to have joy in living our lives. That's the opportunity that we have, the healing, like the umbrella for the Pleiadian earth energy that we talked about earlier, the healing energy, the potential for that is there. But do you tap into it? I mean, it's not automatically conferred upon you, right? We have our own work that we have to do to connect to it, to draw it into us. It's a magnet, right? That one-way magnet that we can draw in that Leo joyfulness and that Leo play and that strength and that courage of the lion. We can draw that into us. So it's not coming for you, right? It's whether you're going to draw it to yourself. J-Lo, I have nothing in the second and third house. Leo is between both. What will be the best way to see what will be happening for me? Well, that's a great question. So let me see. Do I want to go back to the chart? I do. I'm going to go back to the chart. So hold on 1 minute while I share my screen once more. And okay, I lost the chart again. So hold please while I go back and bring it up. There we go. And share once more. Hi, Kitty. Okay, so now here we have our chart of the moment, and let's look at Leo. And let's just pretend right now that the moon is not in Leo. Let's pretend this is somebody's chart, and Leo is straddling the first house and the second house here. Is that sort of like yours then, I guess, J-Lo? And let's just pretend, like I said, there's no moon here. But we all, and many of you have these empty kind of houses in your chart where there's not much there or there's nothing there. I have a couple of those in my chart too. It doesn't mean that nothing's happening in Leo in your chart, not at all, because there's a ruling planet for every sign. And so what we have to look at then is where is the planet that rules Leo? Well, it's the sun that rules Leo. And so if we look to where the sun is right now, it's moving through Gemini. So for you, the creative process may be in about how you express yourself, how you write, how you speak, how you act, how you communicate with other people, who you're communicating with. That has an impact both on you personally, but also on your self-worth. Maybe there is something that you're doing as a speaker or a writer that's going to draw in some money for you, because the second house is about how you earn money. So even though there's nothing much going on here in a chart, if we exclude the moon here, that you can always trace it back to the planet that rules that particular part of your chart and what's going on with that planet. You can also take one step further and look at what that planet is doing in your natal chart. So for example, I can't remember what sign you are, J-Lo. That's really bad. I think, aren't you? I'm going to pretend you're a Gemini. So, God, I can't believe that. I just did a reading for you too. And I don't remember what you're, maybe you are, I know you are a Taurus. You're a Taurus. So first thing we're going to look at is that where's the ruler of Leo, i.e. the sun, transiting right now, and it's moving through Gemini. So there's the speaking component, right? The speech, this mind component, and you might have to be letting your mind more be in the more playful place instead of business and serious, right? Being more playful. But then we also have to look to the chart where your own natal sun is and how is it affecting what's going on in Leo. And if your own natal sign is Taurus, which I suspect it is, we're in a 30, 60, 90 degree relationship to Leo. So we might have some challenges. Maybe you're stuck in a pattern and you need to change out of that pattern, or maybe you're dealing with people who are stuck in a pattern and you're trying to find ways to speak to that for them in a more uplifting or a more enthusiastic voice, bringing, you know, something more positive to them. So there are a lot of ways to look at a chart, and it goes deeper than just, oh, I don't have anything in the first or second house, because you do. You have a planet that rules the sign that sits there that influences your individual self, in this case, in the first house, and your money life in the second house. So I know that's a little confusing, but hopefully that helps you guys get some clarity about those empty houses, seemingly empty houses in your chart. Okay. Now, time-wise, okay, I want to go to our Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook and read our story for the Gate 16, where the sun is, and here's our face, lovely face, the face of versatility here, which is the gift of the gate 16, which is on the throat center. And remember, it is enthusiasm in its highest. Does that true here? The Siddhi is mastery here in the gate 16. In human design, it's about enthusiasm. In Gene Keys, it's a little bit different. It's versatility and mastery. So let's read the wisdom story here for us. And again, the gift is versatility. The shadow is indifference, while the Siddhi is mastery. The gift of being versatile is the ability to pick up any skill that is needed and use it for a single aim, for the betterment of humanity and his service of the whole. Here's the wisdom story. I was hit by lightning as a boy. Our village shaman recognized this as a sign and took me under his wing. When the other children played, I learned about the healing property of plants, how to shake a rattle and beat a drum. Still, whenever possible, my heart drifted toward the sounds of laughing children and the stories told by the village grandmothers. At night, I dreamed of cooking up food around crackling fires and telling stories that made young eyes go wide. But when I awoke, I remembered who I was and who I could never be. So I approached my shamanic training with obsessive discipline. I deluded myself into thinking I was on the right path and that I wanted nothing else. There came a point where I had been initiated into all but the highest level of our ancient traditions. It was time to receive the final initiation and accept my lifelong calling, but on the day of my ceremony, I panicked. I didn't feel ready or good enough. I ran away into the woods. That night, surrounded by trees, I dreamt of the world falling apart and myself powerless to save it. I returned to the village broken. I started neglecting my sacred duties and losing focus. I even started gullibly believing some of the messages leaking into our village from the surrounding cities, claiming that our small ancient ceremonies could never solve the problems of our wounded world. My teacher saw the growing pessimism and indifference in my eyes. Finally, shaking, I confessed my soul's ache to serve the village, but in a different way. I couldn't accept my calling. To my surprise, he smiled and said, "You are indeed a shaman, just a different kind. Listen to your dreams, follow your heart, take your new craft deeply into your bones that you can use what you learn anywhere with anyone for any purpose." And so I did. Now, whenever I appear, whatever I do, bellies hum, hearts lift, and children laugh. I trust in my unique medicine and I am happy. My gift to you. When I look into your eyes, I see a great potential for talent and versatility. I'm here to remind you that although talent requires persistent effort, everything gets easier when you take a stand for your true passion. Trust in your enthusiasm. Risk being different. Learn to let people down. I promise you, finding time to do what you love will get easier. Finding your people, in quotes, will get easier. Asking for help will get easier. Sharing your fears will get easier. Even hard work will get easier because everything you do will be fueled with love. Eventually, your knowledge and skills will become such a deep part of you that you'll be playing and improvising with life itself. Service and sustainability will just naturally happen. You are more ready than you know. Here are your questions for contemplation. Where have you given up on yourself and the world? What passions are you sitting on? Where are you telling yourself that you're not ready? What are you waiting for? What simple act could you take to turn a pipe dream into a reality in the works? Have you convinced yourself there's no use in relation to a particular passion of yours? What and who do you care enough about to find a way to serve anyway? And where do you have a natural talent? Think of one thing you can do to cultivate greater mastery in that area. And I'm going to do something right now for all of you. I'm going to get a piece of paper. Hold on. Got to get it out of my drawer here. And get a giant pen here. And I am writing you a permission slip to live your passion. Here you go. This is your permission to live your passion. Some of you feel like you need a permission slip. You've got it, right? This is your permission slip given to you from the divine to live your life on your terms, according to what you love, where your heart sings, and do it with such joy, even in the challenge of doing it, that you never want to let it go, right? That's my wish for all of you. That is my giving you a permission slip from the universe. I'm going to head back for the last bits of questions. Great. Kamal says, J-Lo makes sense. South Node in Gemini, Taurus. J-Lo, yes, with my Leo 18-year-old. Everybody is having a wonderful time with this. That made me go, OMG, that made me go into a daze and eyes watered up. I love it. I love all of you guys so much that you should all just feel such excitement about being able to go into your day with your full heart, letting your heart lead you into whatever it is, even if it's a challenge, letting your heart lead you into that, right? Because that's where enthusiasm is. That's where love is. That's where all of your solutions lie, not up here with your head, which just chatters at you about what you can't do, about what the world won't let you do. You need a deeper place to go than that, right? All right, guys. That is it for me. Don't forget, 5 p.m. this afternoon, I will be on the Angel Heart Radio. You can go to Angel Heart Radio's webpage, or excuse me, their Facebook page, because we broadcast live to that page. So it's also, you know, in person, live. Okay, guys, much love to you all. Have a wonderful day. I will see you either this evening if you tune in to Angel Heart, or I will see you tomorrow morning. Take care, everybody, and bye for now.